Some of you have asked me this morning if I feel okay, and the answer is yes, I feel great today. If you would have asked me that a couple of days ago, the answer would have been completely different. I feel great, I don't sound great, but I feel great. So I thank you for the concern. You can pray for the rest of my family who is not here for a reason, but I feel fantastic today. Our scripture passage today comes from John chapter 14. Verses 6 through 31. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I and the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we celebrate this Epiphany Sunday, towards the beginning of a new year, as we take a look at this passage that at times is confusing or misunderstood, we pray this morning for clarity. We pray that you would reveal your truth to us, that you would help it to come alive in our hearts and our minds and in our lives, that you would move and work in and among us in such ways that you would help us to lead others to you. We are so thankful for you, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we continue to celebrate. We thank you so much. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as Brian mentioned, yesterday was Epiphany, and so today is what's known as Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany is, yes, where we recognize the arrival of the wise men. And in the American church, it's not necessarily celebrated quite as much. It's something that we make reference to. But across the globe, Epiphany is celebrated frequently, especially in Spanish-speaking countries. They celebrate what's known as King's Day. And so the Christmas season comes to an end, and a lot of countries, the majority of the gifts are given on King's Day. In other countries, maybe just one gift is set aside and opened on King's Day, and it kind of ends this Christmas season. Another tradition is that people would take down the Christmas tree and the wreaths, and they would have a bonfire and one last feast to celebrate, you know, this Christmas time. I don't know if it would work to burn that tree. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure an artificial tree would burn still, right? No. It might be fun, but then we wouldn't have one for next year. And so Epiphany is kind of this one last hurrah of the Christmas season. But as I encourage you on Christmas Eve to remember that Christmas isn't a one-time occurrence. We don't celebrate that the light came into the world once, but we celebrate that the light has come into the world and that it continues to shine. And so with Epiphany, we kind of are marking this transition in the church calendar, and it falls coincidentally, really at the beginning of our calendar. So I would imagine that at the beginning of the year, some of you made New Year's resolutions, but at this point in the year, you've already forgotten what some of those were. We're you know, almost a full week in. My encouragement for you this morning is going to be to have one resolution. And that is to continue to celebrate the light in the world. The light that we celebrated on Christmas, the light that is represented by the star that guided the wise men at Epiphany, the light being Jesus Christ. And so as Jesus in this passage, he has this conversation with Philip. And there's a lot in this passage, and there's a lot that is frequently misquoted or misunderstood. And quite frankly, it's kind of this circular language, and so it's sometimes difficult to understand, or it seems like these outrageous claims of Jesus. And so we'll kind of go through it step by step. But as we do so, be thinking about how can this be leading me into my new year? How can this be helping me to continue to see the light of Christ day by day, step by step, every day? Jesus begins in response to Philip, and he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. Essentially, what Jesus is saying to Philip is that I'm everything. There is nothing that I am not. Anything of consequence, I am. And so if you're looking for the way, the truth, and the life in the new year, Jesus is saying, that's me. If you're looking for a guide forward, that's me. If you're looking for truth in the midst of a world that seems confusing and full of chaos, hey, guess what? I am that truth. If you're looking to add value and meaning to your life, guess what? That's me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is saying that I am the answer to all of these questions for you. Do you not yet believe? He says to Philip, I've been with you for how long now? And you haven't quite grasped it yet? And maybe some of you are thinking already, I've heard this message before. You know, we've heard these messages about Jesus being our goal for the new year. Of course we have. But have we grasped it yet? You know, every time my kids go to the bathroom, I say, have you washed your hands? It's not because I know that they've, or I think that they've forgotten, it's because they don't. And in the same way, I'm reminding us of this message, not because I think we've forgotten it, but because sometimes we fail to implement it. And so, yeah, maybe it is a little bit of a refresher course this morning. But I hope it's one that we receive in such a way that maybe it sparks us to the action that we know we're already supposed to be doing. So Jesus says, I am essentially everything. And then he goes on and he says in verse 12, this is where it really gets kind of maybe a little bit confusing. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. So the first part, whoever believes in me will also do works that I do. Okay, yeah, we get that. That makes sense. You know, Jesus has called us to follow in his footsteps, to lead into his example, but then it says, they will do greater works than I do. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're going to do, like, bigger miracles than Jesus? You know, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He multiplied loaves and fishes. I mean, does that mean that if we're following Jesus closely enough that we're going to be able to raise people from the dead and multiply food and all kinds of these miraculous wonders beyond our greatest imagination? Well, maybe. But not really. That's not really what Jesus is getting at. And the clue here is how he ends that statement. He says, because I am going to the Father. Everything will be greater because he is going to the Father. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that everything that happens from this point forward is greater because it's on the other side of the cross. So even the small things are greater because they happen on the other side of salvation. That up until this point, it's been about promise. And Jesus says, all those things have now been fulfilled. So the forgiveness that has been talked about has now been granted. All of these things that Jesus, he says, one day you will understand fully. Because we are on the other side of the cross, we now understand. And so Jesus is saying that all of these things that happen from this point forward are greater because of what has taken place, that I have died, that I have been raised, and that I am going to my rightful seat next to God the Father Almighty, because he and I are one and the same. Everything we do is made greater because it is illuminated by the work of Christ. And he goes on and he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. In our current cultural context, a lot of times people read this passage and they think, oh, I have maybe like this genie on my side. You know, if I just ask for it in Jesus' name, or maybe if I have enough faith, if I have enough faith, then I'll have all of the wealth and the health that I will ever need. Again, this is not really what Jesus is getting at here. He's not saying that this is some magic formula in which you should ask. He's saying this is really a formula of how to live. That we live in Jesus' name. That we become so united with Christ, that our lives become so wrapped up in Christ, that we know and understand his will in such a way that as we live it, that we are living the will of Christ. And so this is a lofty thing. I mean, it's something that we struggle with because we live in the world and we're tempted by the world, but we're invited to draw into a life with Christ. And Jesus says, if you enter into that life with me, if you're united with me, you know, Jesus says, I and the Father and one, the Father is in me and I am in you. And so if Jesus is in you, that's what we need to get in touch with. That's what he's saying, that if you are in touch with the me inside of you, that you're capable of doing all of those things. And so it's more about connection, being connected with Jesus. It's not about some magic formula about accomplishing all of your hopes and dreams. It's about being connected with the hopes and dreams of Jesus. And he goes on, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We don't like that. At least on some level, we all have some measure of pushback. Because we hear that and we hear, you know, these qualifying statements. You know, well, if you love me, you'll do this. And we think of, you know, love as being this transaction. And Jesus, he's not saying that. You know, in my marriage to my wife, Salisa, there's some things that I do simply because I don't want to make her mad. But then there are you know, other things that I do because I want to be in relationship with her. You know, the Bible describes marriage of a joining of two into one. That you are united in this unbreakable bond. And Jesus, that's what he's saying. He's saying, I want you to be in that type of relationship with me. And so these commandments aren't like these rules and restrictions. Rather, they are instructions on how to be more like Christ in order that we might be in that right relationship with him, so that we're not serving out of duty or obligation, but that we're serving in such a way that we're greater united with him. And so he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he goes on and he says, Jesus, he recognizes that this isn't going to be easy. And so he says, guess what? I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm not leaving you alone. But I am sending you a helper. That the Holy Spirit that the world has known as being with us is now going to be in us. And Jesus says, this will set you apart from the rest of the world. That you will be set apart and that the Holy Spirit will dwell within you. And that the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to understand my word, to follow after me, to obey me. The Holy Spirit will be a guide, a help, a teacher. It will help you to understand the Word of God. You know, many of you have read the Bible for years. And you read a passage over and over again, and then suddenly it takes on a new meaning for your life. And it's not that the words have changed or the meaning has changed, but the Holy Spirit has come alive, or made the passage come alive in such a way that it takes new meaning for you. And this is what Jesus is talking about here, is that the Holy Spirit moves and works in the lives of Christians in such a way that it helps us to understand the Word of God, to implement it into our lives, and to live it out, to be united with Christ. The Holy Spirit does not help us with these gifts and abilities in order for our greatness, but that so that we can be part of, in relationship with God and bring Him glory. That Christ shines brightly in us through the power and working of the Holy Spirit in order that others might be drawn into a deeper, more meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so Jesus says, really what he's getting at here, he says, if you want to know the way, if you want to know the truth, if you want to know the life, and really, I mean, isn't that what we're all searching for? For meaning and purpose, for something greater? And Jesus is saying, I am that. I can be everything for you. All of these distractions, all of this pain, all of this whatever, this chaos, the opposite of peace. Jesus says, I will be that for you. I will be your way. I will be your truth. I will be your life. All you need to do is draw deeper into relationship with me, to allow him to dwell deeply inside of you, and for your life to be transformed by the Holy Spirit moving and working in your life. And so maybe if you are having epiphanies today, I like that joke. Maybe your epiphany is this, is that Jesus isn't a momentary thing. Whether you celebrate that at Christmas or on Easter, he's not a series of moments. He's not something that you choose like to do momentarily. Jesus Christ is an all-in. Jesus Christ doesn't step in and out of our lives. He doesn't give us the Holy Spirit for moments. He gives us the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us for the rest of our lives. He has saved us for the rest of our lives. He hasn't saved us for moments. It's eternity. He hasn't entered into a relationship with you for a moment. It's not like he walks up, gives you a hug, and walks away. He says, I hold you forever. I want to be in a relationship with you forever. Not just a moment, not just a series of moments, all of it. And so that is my encouragement for us this morning, is to move closer to that, to move closer to the all of it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so richly blessed. So frequently we don't even realize it, how much that we have in you. But as you so proclaim, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You're everything. And you've given yourself for us. Thank you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.